Welcome everyone back to Knowledge on the Rift. I am the host, Adam, the AMO, and today we have a guest, Young Deedle.
Hello.
Also goes by Deedle. Hello. And our topic specifically, as we've touched base on the first episode, was the individual trinkets that were free. So these are the free wards. Yeah, or vision denial trinkets that you get at the very beginning of the game. Today's episode, we're going to focus on the ones you actually have to, you know, spend your gold on and buy. But if you buy them, you can get them, you know, refreshed, or you can get more trinkets. We'll go into that in a bit. But first, let's find out about our guests a little bit more. So, Dito, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, so I've been playing League since about Season 2, for what I can remember, and basically, throughout my entire time of playing, I've been involved in numerous ranked teams, from being captain on many teams to being an analyst, and the peak, I would say, of my team career would be playing on a challenger team. So that was kind of my expertise. And then I've left that from a couple months ago, and I'm now coaching. So I do coaching in my free time, help people you know, with their issues as well, mainly on support, since that's the role I tend to specialize in and consider myself quite well at.
Support and warding, pretty important. But what's your favorite League moment, either a personal story that you've done or participated in, or, I don't know, a pro scene, something that just really just sticks with you?
Maybe 2 to 3 years ago, I was playing with my ranked team. This is my favorite moment. And this is back when I ADC'd, because I played ADC for a little bit. And I had the pleasure of playing with my ranked team against Gosu, and he was playing on a ranked team. I don't know if it was friends or whatever, but we were playing against Gosu. And he was playing Ezreal. We had kind of a weird comp. We had, like, Vi, and then we had a Warwick top, just because the meta was crazy back. No, I think this was around Season 3. And it was a 55-minute game. Gosu was popping off. You know, he had around 25 kills, but he ended up E-ing into our team on accident, and we ended up coming back with a win. It was just really cool because that was my very first time. I was only gold at the time, so it was my first time playing against someone that was really well known by the community. It was just cool. It was cool. It was fun. It was great. And best of all, we won. But that's probably my favorite moment. That's just from playing the game.
No, it's always great. We all have our moments where we've met either a League celebrity or a pro player in solo queue or something like that, and it's the impact that little things like that, you know, that's happened about 2 or 3 years ago, it sticks with you. It's great.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I played, you know, since then against plenty of pros. I've played with Freak plenty of times, supporting him because he's an ADC main. I played, it's just been great, you know. But that was probably my favorite moment, playing against pros and such. But
Speaking of the pros and being from NA, are you a CLG or TSM guy?
CLG for life, man. CLG for life. Always been a double lift fan and an Afro fan, but once double lift left for TSM, I didn't know, you know, which way to go, but I stuck with my man Afro, because I think, you know, when double lift left, he was just not being recognized as much as he should have for being the core playmaker. Because in my experience, especially as a support, is that the support is what makes the ADC. It's not the ADC that makes the support. So while Double Lift does pop off and, you know, he has a lot of fame around him based off his high mechanical play, it's always been Afro that's been making him look good. And he hasn't been recognized as much. So CLG for life.
There you go. Going after my own heart, so... we all have our own favorite champions and stuff, but what is your favorite, like, champion, and then kind of what is your favorite skin? So it doesn't even have to be for the champion, but just for, like, any champion.
Okay, my favorite champ of all time is going to be a little weird. It's Ziggs, just because he's kind of like a maniac, just that little, like a little muskrat running around, popping off, you know, bombs and whatnot. He always smiling, jumping around. I just love his personality and how crazy he is. So he's like, on the surface, he looks like kind of, you know, harmless. But then he's just this very maniacal, crazy little critter who just blows everything up. I think it's hilarious, and I just love playing him and watching his waddle when he runs. My favorite skin, though, would probably be Meowkai. I love it. I love the kitty. I love the rainbows, the trolliness and the skin. I just love it. I love trolling people.
That actually was my favorite skin from the last episode. So, great. Little tie in there. For this episode, I'm going to have to go... since we're talking vision, we'll go... surprise.
We're not a very common role. They still aren't. Just because out of all the roles, you know, jungle, ADC, mid, and top, if you kind of get ahead, even on tanks, you're still able to carry through damage. Like, let's say Rek'Sai, for example, in the jungle. She gets ahead, she can still, you know, put out a great amount of damage while still building a lot of items, or Malphite, whoever. Any one of those roles can carry pretty much through damage or tank, you know, contributions. Supports can't really do that. So it's been a very critical role to a team, but not many people pick it up. But the number one way any person on a support role carries is through vision. And since they changed it to that only supports, you know, or people who buy Sightstone, or one of the...
That's how it goes. So, as you said, your support, or more support main... And the topic of today is vision. Do you want to run down about like how come supports get funneled into the vision control or the vision responsibilities?
Yeah, so first going back before they did the whole warding changes where you can't buy green wards anymore, supports were not a very common role. They still aren't. Just because out of all the roles, you know, jungle, ADC, mid, and top, if you kind of get ahead, even on tanks, you're still able to carry through damage. Like, let's say Rek'Sai, for example, in the jungle. She gets ahead, she can still, you know, put out a great amount of damage while still building a lot of items, or Malphite, whoever. Any one of those roles can carry pretty much through damage or tank, you know, contributions. Supports can't really do that. So it's been a very critical role to a team, but not many people pick it up. But the number one way any person on a support role carries is through vision. And since they changed it to that only supports, you know, or people who buy Sightstone, or one of the support items can actually use wards, green wards, it's really made the role a lot more necessary, I would say, and a lot easier to maintain and being able to actually... carry the game, because any other role, like I said, they can carry through other ways, but they could always buy vision wards, right? Even if you're ahead, you buy three vision wards, you buy pink, you know, as Lee Sin or something, you go place those. But now as a support, the only way you get vision on a team is through through having one of those items. So I think it's with the whole change, it's been really, really neat to see how supports have changed and how necessary and crucial that they've actually started to become, especially with dynamic queue with the queue times. But in terms of placing wards and using ward chargers, that's where you can start seeing the differences of how good a support actually is.
No, yeah, it's something we're gonna dig into here. The first thing I want to touch base just for our listeners, if we talk, we're gonna be talking kind of details here about the items specifically and where you're placing your wards. There's a great tool out there, map.riftkit.net. It just pull it up in your browser. It'll be linked down in the video topic down there. I'll probably throw that there. You just go there and you can like play with vision all you want. You can place green wards, you can place pink wards, you can move the champions around, you can set the timers for the wards, so you can see how long it could, you know, theoretically take to get from point A to point B, or where will a ward see someone or not see someone. It's a great tool when discussing with a team vision for like an objective, or where should you place wards if you want to have teleport flanks, to just in your everyday games, if you're just like, how we had this vision, I thought we had good vision here, how did this jungler gank my lane? And you can just go and like place where your wards were and then do just a pathing exercise. So if you need any visual context as we discuss the topics today, mm-hmm. that's a great tool to use.
Yeah, and I use it all the time in my one-on-one coaching. So it's really kind of it's probably one of the better tools out there for warding. So yeah, I highly recommend it. If you guys ever do, you know, get a coach or someone that even a friend who knows the game a little more than you or is better than you in terms of skill, use it and have them explain some of these ward locations to you too. Ask questions. It's really good to get an overview of the map from, you know, an outsider perspective rather than being in-game and using pings or anything like that. It's just, it's a lot more useful, in my opinion.
Yeah, so let's dig into it, though. In the first ever episode of Knowledge on the Rift, we went over trinkets, and I got with another AD carry support main, Handsome Zach, and we went over the yellow trinket and the blue trinket and the double red, the two different types of red trinkets, and we did kind of discussed all that. This is going to be a slight twist. We're going to go specifically over the non-free trinket wards. So the things we'll be talking about are the pinks, your trackers, you know, green smite for the jungler, the sight stone, and kind of all of its upgrades. First, like, as the team, as you said, the support's kind of in charge of this position of this, what do you feel like? So are you a big fan of getting Sightstone first, or do you like to finish your you know, your gold per generation item, or does it just kind of depend on the matchup?
That's a good question. I think it definitely depends on the matchup, right? And not only just, you know, what you're upgrading first, but also what item you're going. And the example I'll be using is Janna for this, because she's, in my opinion, the strongest support in the game right now, at least by NA's current meta, where if you look at over, you know, in the more eastern countries or regions like China or the LCK, they don't really use Janna that much. But for a good example is that she uses Spell Thieves, right? A lot of people build Spell Thieves on her. In unfavorable matchups, and this goes with any support that uses Spell Thieves, if you're not going to be able to proc your Spell Thieves and get gold accumulation, then you shouldn't buy it. If you're playing Janna with Vayne and you're going against a Draven Blitzcrank, for example, it's too dangerous for you to go up and proc your autos or your abilities to go for that 15 gold, the triple proc. So in those instances, that's where I recommend people to start going coin, right? Because it's a safer item buy. You actually don't lose out much gold from it, and you might actually gain more gold because you're in a safer location, you're not putting yourself in danger from like a Blitzcrank hook, for example. And in these same matchups, you know, moving ahead, if you're able to accumulate more gold, so if you actually went the Spell Thieves and you're playing against like an Alistar or something, and he's really easy to get your procs off, then you should definitely get these gold items second, because what that does is the more gold you have, and especially as a support who actually doesn't get that much gold, it's really necessary. But there's so many factors into this. Mainly, I would say get the sight stone first, just as a general rule. But if you can acquire more gold, get that first. And even if you can't, okay, so we'll use the Blitzcrank Draven and the Janna Vayne example. Even if you can't, right, you can't get that much gold, but you're playing against a farming jungler, Shyvana, for example, someone who isn't really going to gank. Well, you don't really need the Sightstone in that situation. So it would actually be better to go for that gold and just to kind of hold out as long as you can, because Sightstone isn't really necessary against junglers that aren't going to be ganking you pretty heavily, like a Lee Sin or an Elise, especially early on. If it's like the 4 or 5 minute mark, you don't really need to. But once it starts getting around the 8 minute mark, you definitely need some a sight stone for that dragon around the 9 to 10 minute mark.
All right, so and one of the things we were discussing is the sight stone. So you're just talking about the just the 800 gold item that just gives you 150 health.
Yep, just 800.
That's it. It gives you three green wards, basically.
Mm-hmm, that's it. So I'm saying if you can accumulate more gold through your other support item without needing to, you know, have the sight stone because of the jungler, go for the gold item every time. More gold, especially with the meta, because you got to keep in mind that the current state of League right now is dragons are very important. Rift is very, very important. Games are lasting maybe 25 minutes on average, not the 40-minute mark like it used to be, you know, in Season 2 and Season 3. So these games are going a lot quicker. Most of the time, you're only going to be able to get 2 to 3 items on any champion unless you're really fed. So if you can get more gold in that time, you're better off. More gold means more pink wards, by the way, too, which are essential.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, that's one of the things we're going to be touching on. So, you know, coming specifically from the support perspective, the sight stone, the trick is, when do you upgrade to the ruby sight stone, which, you know, does increase your health from 150 to, it gives you 500 health. But the upgrade does cost another ruby crystal part or just straight 1,800 gold. But it gives you an extra, you know, an extra charge that you can hold around the map. And it also gives you another another unique passive, that 10% on cooldown on your actives. This only works for your actives. It's not your abilities. Versus when do you upgrade or combine your gold per item with your sight stone into the eye items?
Okay, that's a very good question, and this is one I get asked probably the most. If people who ever come to my stream or are watching me, usually I have an eye item, and they always ask, why do I have an eye item? And it's because I like the ability to have free item slots. I love it. I love being able to just spend like 550 gold on upgrading it, get an extra ward, which is crucial. Crucial, crucial, crucial. And also being able to have an extra item slot. If I'm playing Alistar, for example, and I don't need Face of the Mountain because, you know, Face of the Mountain, what it does, you know, puts a shield on an ally. And what it that allows you to do is it negates single target damage. So if I'm playing, you know, Alistar and the enemy team has like a Fizz top and then a Zed, well, I'm going to go Face of the Mountain because I'm using that item as much as possible, you know. But if it's most situations aren't like that. So instead, what I'll do is I'll go the eye item just for that extra item slot to be able to buy either as many pink wards and carry them as much as possible or start buying parts of items. Because pink wards, what you should always be doing as a support is be walking around with one, if not two, because what a lot of people actually do is they place one, they leave it there for the rest of the game, they don't touch it. But that's not good. That while you're thinking in your head, like, yeah, I have a pink ward out on the game, you know, I'm doing good, it might not be in a prime location. If you're playing on blue side, you have it in that tri-bush on your side of the map, and it's there till the 30-minute mark, well, you're not really gaining vision because the whole map pressure kind of goes away from bot lane and dragon to top lane and Baron around that time. So make sure you guys, if you're buying pink wards, you're placing them periodically throughout the map in different locations based where the next objective is going to be.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, solo queue, dynamic queue can be kind of hard to communicate with your teammates, especially if they like to go ham or if you got someone that just wants to split push all day. But yeah, you know, as a support, as we're discussing, the vision control. Since there is now sometimes the support only one with a sight stone or mm-hmm. a eye item on a team, there's not many wards being dropped that they need to be placed in very crucial locations. So we first give a tiny bit about information. We're currently discussing this during patch 6.10. So the new pink wards actually have been around for one patch. They came out in 6.9.
Mm-hmm.
They now have 4 health. but they now regenerate one health every 3 seconds if they're out of combat, which is really weird. It's, you seem to be a huge fan of it. I think that it's hysterical that they did this so Jin, well, they probably did for much reason, but one of the reasons that blatantly obvious is Jin only gets 4 auto attacks, and he can never kill a pink ward. But then I was like, well, now Graves is stuck, still with his 2 shots. So what do you love about the changes to the pink ward?
Oh, I love it because the whole idea, like, and I'm going to, just because we're support, so I'm talking primarily, you know, all about bot lane. So, common example, you're on blue side. You place your pink in the try bush, right? And by the way, you should be placing it in the bottom left of the try, not anywhere else, just because the whole vision of that area is just for the bush itself, not anything towards the river. Regardless, you place it there. You can't really defend it if they come in 2v2 you that much, because if they just get 4 or 5 autos off, they just walk away. But now you're actually able to defend it, right? So if you push them off it a little bit, you don't have to worry about them coming right back and just taking it down. Caitlyn's a great example because, you know, used to be that Caitlyn's on red would come over, auto it once, auto it twice, you push them off so she backs off, and then right when you walk back down for those minions, she comes right back up and hits it again, you know, once or twice and kills it. So now you push them off, and then it regenerates, and now you can defend it again at full health. I love it. It really makes pinks a lot easier to defend. It makes them more contested rather than them just being, you know, hit by Azir, soldiers or anything like that. Your team can actually react a little quicker because if they push them off, you're able to defend it for a longer period of time. I think it's been an overall buff. While you do lose a health charge on it, the recharge on it has just been phenomenal.
I also have been a fan of it. Someone who this season's decided to play with the dynamic cube just all top lane with a little bit of jungle mixed in. Personally, I run my favorite champion so far this season have been Shen and Maokai. So the teleporting to pink wards has, before it was, is this something that we're actually going to contest? Or is this something where I'm just like, oh, they're going to poke and leave, and then poke and leave? Something where, like, if they actually commit for the that third auto attack, coming in and like, canceling that fourth one, they've spent, like you said, that time and effort to actually take out this pink ward, can give your team such an advantage. It allows it to just kind of, like, in fights, if you drop it, like, in an Akali, you know, Shroud, or if the other enemy team has a Evelynn or Kha'Zix, Rengar, Shaco, Wukong, any of those stealth champions, pink wards are an absolute must, even at, you know, just to feel safe. Basically, that's one of the best ways to cancel out those invisible champions.
Yeah, definitely.
So when we're saying, you know, pink wards and, you know, the sight stones, what are we looking to do with these? Obviously, we want to place them where we can place them safely and not die. But at the same time, there's no point in putting a pink ward next to, you know, my team's red buff if we've already taken all the enemy team's tier 1 towers.
Right. So this is the best advice I can give for any support, is while we're talking about placing vision, having vision, you know, ward charges, pink charges, whatever, know the objective that's next, right? Your vision is only as good as you make it. That's just the cold hard truth. If you're playing support and you're not placing great vision for your team, well, you're pretty much useless. So what's the next objective? If you have Dragon coming up in a minute, you know, 30, what you need to do is you need to go use those war charges, place it in either the bushes around the area or the entrances from the enemy team's, you know, spawn, like the jungle entrances, so you can see them coming. and then you back, okay? Please, back. So you place it around, like, the 1 minute 30 mark, around Dragon, because we're talking about Dragon. Get that objective vision, because what are they going to do when Dragon comes? They are going to clear all the vision you just put out, right? So now you have none. So that's why you back around the 1 minute 30, reset those war charges, place vision again in the areas that you are able to defend them from doing. So that way, you're having constant vision of an objective that is that's going to be coming up continually. You understand? So I think there's a lot of supports who don't actually understand the importance of war charges. They just place their four wards, then they just peace out, you know? And what you guys really need to be doing is not only placing these wards in the primary objective locations, whether it's like mid-tower, second-tier tower, bottom, or baron, wherever, but you're resetting your war charges when it's appropriate. Because you got to remember, you're the only person walking around on your team, most likely, that's placing wards. And I don't see that often enough. It's probably my biggest advice to anyone is make sure you're not only using your war charges, but you're backing and recharging them.
So, I mean, we've been so far talking mostly about supports. One of the things I think this comment that you're talking about is backing and recharging is something that can apply very specifically to the junglers that choose to take the tracker's knife. Now, obviously, taking the tracker's knife versus taking the red smite or the blue smite is all up to matchups, team comps, what type of champion you individually are playing. But when you do take the green smite, you do only get two wards, unlike the four that you can get out of the any of the sightstone items. So, I mean, you've probably played a little bit of jungler or seen the usage of tracker knife. What are a little bit of tips on how to use this slightly differently to best optimize it compared to the sightstone, where you can place three wards back and come back with four?
Scuttle, I think, is important for any jungle matchup, or any team, I should say. I think that any jungler that's going tracker's knife should be primarily focusing on maintaining scuttle control. So having vision on, for instance, if we're playing blue side, having vision around the entrance, you know, from mid or top jungle into that scuttle by Rift Herald. I think it's really, really, really valuable to have these scuttles because they're pretty much wards, but being able to place them in the enemy team's primarily jungle entrances to these scuttle regions not only grants you A, scuttle, which is more vision, and B, jungle entrance vision. Like, it's a win-win in that regard, in my opinion. So I think any jungler that's going to be going tracker's knife, and you mainly see this on champs like Nunu or maybe like a Maokai jungle, so more support junglers, which aren't really in favor right now. I mean, Lee Sin can go for that, but you really see them using it only for ward hopping. I really think you should be using it for scuttle control and jungle entrance control around the scuttles. Vision is key to any and every game. So more vision you can get, better off you are.
Okay, so as someone who runs support, how do you feel when you see your jungler take a green smite? Because as someone who doesn't play the support role, when I see like a jungler take the green smite, I'm like, cool, we're gonna have more wards, but it's not the same as like, you know, if they have the blue smite or the red smite, and I'm like in top lane, I'm like, come gank my lane. You can you know, smite the enemy, you know, reduce their damage or you know, reduce their speed, make the gank easier. Versus a green smite, it's like, cool, I didn't die.
I feel a little relief. I feel, I think that's the best way to describe it. I feel relieved when I see a jungler take it. See, while you're saying, yeah, we have less damage-oriented things like the red smite, blue smite, or chase, you know, things like that, I'm seeing it as, well, no, I don't have to go into the deep areas of their jungle to get wards if I have to. I'm a little safer, you know. That Lee Sin that has the green one, he can go and get vision down if he needs to. Or it's going to be a lot harder for me, and if I do it, I'm just going to probably get caught out and die, right? So I feel relieved and less pressured. And then once again, recharging wards, while it is a primary responsibility of mine, I'm not actually as dependent on going and recharging those wards because I have someone to back me up on it with this vision.
And that takes some communication as well. It's mm-hmm. something that the pro scene, they always talk about. If you hear someone like Monte Cristo or Jad or Deficio or, you know, any of the pro scene casters or not caster, the play-by-plays, but the color commentary or the analyst, they always talk about, you know, the jungle support synergy in vision control. Now, in a pro scene, you can see almost every single jungler take the green smite because of how much they rely on vision and communication. So I can see where in solo queue it can release a little bit of pressure knowing that at least you're somewhat on the same page as your jungler in the vision control mm-hmm. thought of how to play the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just invaluable in a solo queue presence, but you got to realize, like, I play at a little higher level. I'm a diamond support player, and at that level, like, a lot of us still understand the importance of vision control, the importance of objective control, things like that. Whereas a lot of the player base is around, you know, bronze, silver, and gold, where it's not as, you know, prominent in those areas, where they're more focused on getting kills or going around and ganking and teamfighting. So I think for any player, they really need to understand how important vision is. And for any jungler, you know, you kind of dictate the control of the game. So you have to make either a sacrifice in damage and go for that that primary vision, or you need to, you know, suck it up and say, hey, I trust this guy. He's going to get us good vision, and I need to, you know, put out more damage because we need it. I mean, it's a battle, but as if we're looking just by comparisons of player base, I think vision is a lot more prominent in where I'm at, and that's why I don't run into it as much in terms of, you know, people not going trackers, but I don't know.
So, I mean, once you've kind of figured out the early game and kind of seeing on how it's going, let's say it's, for whatever reason, stagnant or stale, and you want to set up, let's say, the division, the line of wards for the map. And let's say all of our players are great teammates and every single person on your team bought a pink. ADCs, you can buy pinks too. They're only 75 gold. You'd rather have a pink than a health potion. So where would your, like, optimization, like, where, if, let's say you're on blue side again, because we seem to be focusing on that. If you're on the blue side, where would you want your, like, top laner, jungler, mid laner, and then your bot lane combo? Where would you want your pink ward vision to be if you want to play, like I said, it's even, so none of the towers I'm taking, it's kind of a defensive ward line.
A defensive ward line? That's a good question. I would have the top laner, right, if we're just going to work our way top to bottom, I would have his at our blue buff. Okay, because the thing about that pink ward, and sometimes I place this as support, is that map pressure, like I said earlier, transitions from dragon and bot lane later in the game to top lane, Baron, mid lane, right? So we see that transition around the 25-minute mark where teams can usually take Baron. That pink ward not only defends your blue for the duration of the game, but it also transitioned to a point of pressure as well, where people are going to be trying to either go for that blue or gain vision in that area. And also, since you're a top laner, you're probably only going to buy one pink ward anyway. So if you place it in your bush and you're not, like, your top lane bush, for example, right? The river bush. If you're not pushing that, you know, the enemy jungler is just going to come and take it every single time. So this way, it's going to be defended. You have a less, you know, a lesser chance of someone taking it. I think that is probably the best, safest way for a top laner to place it, is either in their blue buff, you know, since we're talking about blue side. Jungler, I would have it put it either in the top river bush by Scuttle, the one that stands alone, just because it gives very important vision. Your jungler should be buying more than one pink anyway, so we're not worried if, you know, that one dies as much as we are if someone else's dies. And your mid laner should be putting it towards the red buff on the other side to see over around dragon. That way they can defend a flank, any invade into their jungle, and since they have vision on the top side, because their jungler just pinked that bush, they can see on that side as well, and it also transitions well for dragon control. Your ADC, obviously, should throw it in the tri-bush to protect that general area, then allows your jungler also to you know, go through the tri-bush for gank or whatever. And then I think your support, if we're just talking a line of vision, typically I would say your support should save it, and wherever the next objective is, go and place it. Otherwise, I would say if he's going to place it anywhere, he should place it in his bot lane bush closest to his tower. And reason why I say that, and it's not a very common thing that I see people doing, but if you're pushing your lane, any top laner, well, most top laners, I should say, are taking teleport. So if you're pushing your lane up to their tower, if you pink the bush behind you, there's a 0% chance of them TPing behind you and making a play when you're ahead. So I think a lot of people just don't do that. And I often question my students why they don't do that when they're pushing and playing so aggro, because they have like a 3-kill lead and then their top laner TPs and then the whole gold lead they had just kind of goes to waste right there. So definitely pink, you know, behind you if you have a lead and you're constantly pushing.
And I think that's the message that we're gonna take into the next round here is we are ahead. We're doing well in lane. So let's say we've taken some towers. How do we push forward our vision line if we want to go with a line, or if you want to go with the bulge method where you bulge out around an objective and to just or just around that? How do you go about that in? Or how do you, you know, talk to your the people that you coach about, you know, moving that vision line safely, okay, but at the same time watching your back, sort of okay thing?
So this is a term I usually use. It's called map relief, and it's the opposite of map pressure. So map pressure, you know, you're pressuring them so dark zones they could possibly be at, right? Map relief is when you're behind and you get a tower, you're relief because that area becomes less pressured, and you can actually, you know, move in that area a little better without them probably being in there. So a good example is like bot lane, you're getting destroyed, or you're ahead, because we're saying we're ahead, and you move that line. So you take tower, and each tower you take kind of moves that line in a particular direction, right? So if you just look at the like map riftkit.net, for example, and you would draw a line, right, from each tower that's up. So if you have all three towers up, if you just draw a line, your vision going past that line is dangerous. So if you take bot tower, you draw a line from, or if you take bot tower, excuse me, if you take a line and you draw from top tier 1 to mid tier 1 and then draw it to bot tier 2, that's the line that just shifted. So you're able to go, you know, with before that line without, you know, probably getting in danger. So if you take tier 1, then that line goes back. So now you have a line drawing from tier 2 tower in bot lane to tier 2 tower in mid lane to tier 1 tower in top lane. That's relatively safe, right? So that's map pressure, and that's how you push your lead. So you ward within those areas that aren't crossing that line because you have control of those areas and you're constantly pressuring the team. So if you're conversely, now if the bot lane, right, so in this situation you have tier 1 mid, tier 1 bot, if their bot lane takes your bot tower, you're going to have to move that line back a little more towards you just because they have a little more control of that area now. Even if minions take it, even if you're up like 10 to nothing, you got to realize that towers are constant vision. They are just basically standing wards that kill minions or kill anything that's around it. So as soon as those you know, towers die, you don't have vision around that area anymore. So you got to play a little more defensive when these things happen. I hope that answered the question pretty
Yeah, that's kind of where we're going, is how to, you know, an easy understanding of when to be aggressive and when to play defensive. Mm-hmm. You mean, you said it perfectly. Hey, just because you've got 10 kills in lane, but if they took your tower, you don't have that vision anymore. You have to be more cautious. One of the things I've always talked to people about when discussing vision is you can walk across a dark room perfectly fine, and nothing mm-hmm. can happen to you. And that's playing the game, walking through the enemy jungle with nothing there. But have you ever stepped on a Lego?
Oh, God.
Barefooted?
Ugh, hurts.
Terrible. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. You don't know if there's Legos on the floor now. Let's say your little sibling was playing with Legos all day, and now you're going to walk across the living room floor barefooted to go to the kitchen to get a bite of food. You're taking a huge risk walking through the darkness.
Them Legos.
That's how I feel. That's when people are like face checking bushes and walking through the enemy jungle with no wards, and they don't know where the jungler is because they don't look at their mini map, that type of stuff. That's my always example. You may get across safely. You may also, you know, walk to their blue buff and find a Lee Sin and an Azir and a Leona.
Right.
So that's kind of how I feel about walking through the darkness.
The team can always come back. They can always come. I don't know how many times I've came back from like 15 or 20K deficits and came out with a win. So never get too confident, never get too arrogant, especially with vision control.
No, oh, that's kind of the message we're relaying here, is that your information is key. Now, we talked about how to move the line, and you've really specifically discussed the importance of putting the vision around when or where your team wants to do the objective. So you're mm-hmm. focusing on prioritizing proper vision at proper times. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the timers visually queuing now on the jungle buffs?
I hate it. Just not even talking about vision. It takes away from the skill of the junglers, because a good jungler, a challenger level jungler, should know the clear times of every champion that's prominent in that meta. He should know the clear time it takes to get from his normal route on Rek'Sai, Eve, you know, whatever. You don't really have to do that as much anymore. I mean, you still got to do it, you know, clear speed, whatever, but anyone can watch it now, and anybody can time and see the clear speed and the clear path of the enemy jungler. And something that junglers used to do is they would call it camp counting. So what they would do is, you know, you see Udyr appear on the top side of the map. He has 17 CS. You haven't seen him before, so the, you know, you being a jungler, you see the enemy jungler first time, you count how many CS he has, and you deduce his route and what camps he has taken and what camps he hasn't. And believe it or not, that's what people do. So I think overall it just killed the entire a whole skill level requirement of some junglers. But it's, in terms of vision, it's not as prominent, and it kind of just, I don't know, I really don't like it.
So it's something that obviously the junglers at the higher low already, like you said, they did this camp counter or CS tracker or path notifications based upon statistics and straight. It's impossible for him to have done these buffs because that's too many CS.
Basically. CS, right.
So the new thing where it shows you when a buff is going to spawn in 1 minute when it starts to do its little hourglass thing until when it pops, right? Mm-hmm. I feel that's kind of either a noob trap or someone with less experience. It's a shiny thing on their mini map that they don't look at or rarely look at. So at your level, it's a hindrance, basically.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Can you see ways of teaching people on lower elos to use that as a way to, as you said, place your wards properly. Like, if you know that they're going to hand off blue buff and you're behind, what?
I use it all the time. I hate the change, but I use it. If I see that timer rolling and I'm supporting and I'm in bot lane, and I see that blue thing timer come up, you bet your ass I'm right over there warding it right away. So as soon as it comes up, if you're positioned and like you got to realize that you have to count the enemy champions that you see on the map anytime you go and ward in the enemy jungle or anywhere that you probably shouldn't be. If you see two their top laner and then you see bot lane there and you don't see their mid or their jungle, it's really risky. But if you see like their jungle top, you don't see their mid laner, you see their top laner, and you don't see their support, you're pretty safe going into the jungle because, one, you're not going to get caught up by the enemy support. You know, he shouldn't be able to 1v1 you, wet noodle fight. And two, I highly doubt their mid laner is in like bot lane jungle taking like Gromp or something like that. So make sure you're just at least looking and seeing who is placed where before going anywhere. But definitely, if the timer's up, use it, man.
Yeah, so, no, that's one of the things that I was kind of leading into is using the, we've talked about, you know, putting these wards and getting all this information from across the map. How do you recommend people to use the minimap appropriately? Because everything we've talked about shows up on the minimap. We actually haven't even talked about it yet.
Yeah. I think, first of all, you have to have an eye. You should be looking at the minimap every, like, 3 to 5 seconds. Quick tip, if you're not, you know, really doing that and you're trying to get better at doing it, put a metronome in the background that, like, bongs every 3 seconds. So you just hear a bong and you look at the minimap. Really helpful. Helps with, just kind of habits. So, the best thing to do is, I think, count champions. Not really count champions, but just see which champions are visible, which ones aren't. And notice where they are. Like, if you look at the minimap, right, and sometimes this happens, and you just see their jungler, and he walks from, like, Razorbeaks into bot lane jungle. Well, just because he showed up for that 2 seconds, he's in bot lane jungle, there's a possible point that he will gank you, right? So, if you see it, start playing defensive. Start noticing where people are on the map and changing your play style when you see them on the map. If you see their top laner, start to randomly back off, and you then you like use your camera, you go look, he's at full health, he randomly just starts backing off. TP play might be coming in, you know. You got to look at what people are actually doing and why they're doing it, and ask yourself why they're doing it, rather than just looking at the minimap, not seeing a jungler, you know, and being like, I'm safe. Look at top lane. Look at mid lane. Where are they at? Where are they moving? Is mid lane pushing constantly? And then are they out of the, are they in the fog of war? So change your play style. Make sure you're not just looking where the jungler is, but also make sure where people are playing and where they are.
No, and it's something that I found back, this is kind of weird, back when it was season 2 and you as a support you could, you know, fill up in two entire item slots with green wards and then a third entire item slot with pink wards and just run and make the map look like a Christmas tree. Right. That's I found that super easy and super, that wasn't like, it was literally just get gold, place wards, don't die. And as I did that, it was one of the things we talked about the minimap is I would be, because I was training myself to watch the minimap is another reason. Mm-hmm. And I'm by far no means like good or great at watching the minimap. I would be like, oh, mid's missing. Well, back then they didn't have pings. So then I was trying to type like Mia mid. Right. Now they just, you have, you know, the danger ping. And it's something that as a support, you can communicate that with your AD carry, or you can communicate with that with your jungler. Like if let's say their jungler is ganking the top lane, you can literally just like ping danger up top and then assist me at, you know, like blue buff, the enemy team's blue buff. And you just go and invade the place of ward because you know you're safe.
Right. Exactly.
So as you know, we talked about gaining vision control. What I mean, and placing the wards as a support, you're going to be going to the red trinket specifically. And I know in the previous episode, one of the episodes, we talked about the trinkets and kind of like an ideal team comp was top had the yellow trinket to place wards himself. The jungler and the supports both went red trinkets. Your AD carry and your mid laner usually went blue trinkets. Do you have a favorite red trinket? Do you prefer the vision on the champion, or do you like the one that lets you like drop it over the wall?
If you're not playing against like a Blitzcrank or like a catch comp with like an Ahri, then like a I don't know, like a Fizz Top or something like that, where single target catch is really prominent. Always go the one over your head because it lasts a longer duration. You're able to get more out of it. But if you're playing in these, against a comp that is able to pick you out just from looking in a bush or walking into one, definitely keep the other one. Definitely keep the other one.
No, yeah. So that's the one, the alteration one. I believe the was the title of the trinket there. So. You obviously you're running around with pink wards and you're using your red trinket to if you clear out and check the major bushes or tendencies that you found because they now have the little dots in the, on the screen where they placed wards previously, and they're always the major
rubble. Yeah,
they're always, if you see the same dot in the same location repeatedly, you may want to check there next time. So how do you feel about denying the enemy team's vision versus placing your own?
Denying is more important than placing. Reason is any team that's behind can come back through getting a catch. Any team that's ahead can keep their lead by getting a catch. So denying, really sets it up for your team in numerous ways. Vision is very important in maintaining it and keeping it and being able to roam around the map. But being able to not be seen by the enemy team, I think it's just 10 times better, personally.
And that's another reason why they carry pinks, everyone. Because you can drop a pink, clear out a bush, go up to the next bush, and use your red trinket on it. And then if you have a jungler, they can go to another bush in the same area and drop their red trinket. You know that there's no vision in that area. That's complete darkness. And as we said before, if you walk through darkness, you step on a Lego.
Exactly.
Do you have any other tips or tricks or just like solid advice for just warding in general or, anything like that?
I think the number one thing I've seen in all of my coaching, since most of my coaching's, average player base, silver, gold, bronze, use your war charges. I see so many people, it's a very common thing, and this might sound a little silly, but it's very, very common. If you have wards, place them before you back. No reason not to, because all too often people go and, have two war charges or one war, war charge, and then they back when they could have saved it, or I mean placed it, and that's vision, right? Or another common thing I see is people don't place it, right? They have two war charges. They don't place them in bot lane, even in the bushes, right? So you don't put it even in your bot lane bushes. Then you back. You come back to lane. The enemies are now there. And what do? You ward both the bushes because, that's where they're starting. The support's starting to walk or the ADC starting to walk. So now you just wasted two war charges where you could have kept vision.
And that's one thing that we can always touch on is if you see the jungler top lane or if you've placed some wards, you don't always necessarily have to have a ward out instantly when your previous ward dies.
Right.
The fact that you have vision of someone somewhere else means that you know that they can't be somewhere else.
Right.
One of the last things that... I want to sort of quick touch on or recommend for everyone is a tool that can help you look at your own warding and how it works. The tool is Ward Score. That's one word, Ward Score. .lultools.net, and it's just.
Yep, definitely. I don't know what mine is right now, but definitely. Ooh, I'm special. All right. Yeah, so follow my stream at twitch.tv/young. That's YUNG underscore Deedle. It's usually, I stream a lot throughout the week, so go and follow me there. If you just go to that, you can find, access to my YouTube, Twitter, whatever. But for my Twitter, Same thing. It's just at YUNG, but no underscore, just Deedle. So DEEDLE. So yeah, just come follow me, come watch. A lot of my stream is based on educational league stuff. So I do seminars. I also coach and play solo queue and play with you guys. So come say hi. Nope, didn't say that, but I definitely am out there, so. Yep. Time is money. Yep, so. Thank you. That sounds good. Thanks for having me.